Good evening. So this evening we bring our liturgical year to a close as we celebrate this feast of Christ the King. It was just under about 100 years ago that Pope Pius the 11th issued an encyclical which established this solemnity of Christ the King. This was his response to the destructive forces of his time, insisting that the only weapon against military forces and human chaos was the acknowledgement of the sovereign nature of Christ. In that document, the Pope was calling for us to actively participate in the celebration of Christ the King. That simply reading about Christ wasn't enough. Rather, we need to respond to and answer our baptismal call to be a disciple of Christ, to follow Christ, to be like Christ the King. But I think what that looks like can be very confusing. For if we are to follow Christ, I think we need to practice less kingship and more kinship. For just look at some of the Gospels that we've listened to this past year, beginning with Luke's story of Jesus' first sermon in his hometown of Nazareth, where he went into the synagogue and was handed a scroll and proceeded to read from Isaiah, saying, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to bring glad tidings to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to let the oppressed go free, and to proclaim a year acceptable to the Lord." See, in doing so, Jesus immediately identifies himself as the anointed one who will bring God's life-changing message of the liberation for the oppressed, pardon for the sinner, and the inclusion of the marginalized. All of this sets the tone for so many stories of good news of God's love and mercy and forgiveness, just as Jesus ministered to sinners and the outcasts of society. This past year, we heard Luke's story of the repentant prostitute who washed the feet of Jesus with her tears and wiped them with her hair. We heard about the tax collector, Zacchaeus, whose encounter with Jesus changed him to be an honest man. We heard the story of the Good Samaritan, who moved with compassion, was the only one who stopped and helped the one injured alongside the road. Story after story of people like you and me, but presented with an alternative option of how to live their lives. But perhaps the best example of kingship versus kinship was in the gospel we heard of Bartimaeus. Remember how it goes? Jesus is traveling through Jericho on his way to Jerusalem, is surrounded by his disciples and a growing crowd. And sitting alongside the road, stuck behind a mass of people, was a blind man, Bartimaeus. He so wants to meet Jesus that he begins to call out, saying, "Jesus, Son of David, have pity on me." He continues his plea louder and louder to be heard over the din of the crowd. But his cries for Jesus are annoying the people and even the disciples. They're trying to hush him up. After all, why would Jesus want to bother with this poor, filthy, blind man? But Bartimaeus cries out even louder. So what does Jesus do? He hears the cry of the poor. He tells the crowd, "Bring the blind man to me." So those who are trying to hush him, they're now called into service to help him come forward. It said Bartimaeus leaves everything he owns behind, his mat, his tunic, everything he was wearing. Thus he stands before the Christ, naked in every way, and Christ simply asks him, "What do you want?" Bartimaeus' response says, "I want to see." Jesus tells him, "Go, your faith has saved you." With that, Bartimaeus' sight is restored, and we're told he doesn't go back to pick up his belongings. Rather, he abandons everything and journeys with Christ to Jerusalem. See, this story reminds us that the true sense of kingship is not gained through the understanding of teachings and encyclicals and doctrines. Rather, it's through the practical and daily commitment practicing kinship to those who come into our lives. For as broken as we are, Despite all the mistakes we make, and even as blinded as we can be, Christ is always, always walking by our side, asking, "What do you want?" For Jesus was always eating with the wrong people at the wrong time, on the wrong day, with non-Jews and sinners. He was ignoring all the purity codes that his religion required at that time. Indeed, Christ formed new community and new unity wherever he went. Likewise, today we're called to do the same, which requires conversion, requires us to review our priorities, requires us to revisit who and what we hold as king in our lives, requires us to make decisions that bring us closer to God. One of those decisions, I think, was best described most recently by actor Mandy Panikin. During a recent interview, he was talking about the role he played in the 1987 classic movie Princess Bride. How many saw that? I mean, come on, it's a classic, right? His character, Inigo Montoya, spent the better part of the movie searching for the man who killed his father. Those who watched the movie heard the line many times, "My name is Inigo Montoya. You killed my father, prepared to die," time and time again. Mandy tells the story that it was just a few years ago he was in New York City and getting ready to go out for the evening. As he was dressing, it just so happened the movie Princess Bride was on TV in his room. It was nearing the end of the movie. He said it was then he heard a line that he never paid attention to before. In his interview, he went on to say this: "So I stood in my hotel room, a 55-year-old Mandy listening to a 25-year-old Mandy delivering a line that I said so many years ago, but I never heard it as a young man. And for me, by far, it's the most potent line in the entire movie. When I said, 'I've been in the revenge business so long, now that it is over, I do not know what to do with the rest of my life.'" He went on to say, "I love that line. I love it for all of us, because the purpose of revenge is worthless and pointless. And the purpose of existence is to embrace our fellow human being, not to be revengeful, rather to care for one another, and thus turn darkness into light." See, decisions like this is what the Gospels of Luke have been teaching us this past year. For on this feast of Christ the King, it's all about kinship, not kingship. It's about light, not about darkness. It's about forgiveness, not revenge. It's about acceptance, not rejection. That's what we're being called to do each day, as hard as it may be. But Lord knows, we don't always make the right decisions, and we will always not be like Christ. But that's okay. Look on that cross. Christ hangs there with his arms outstretched, as we heard in our second reading, and he holds all things together, forgiving all things, reconciling all things, and loving each of us without any conditions, just the way we are. So as we end this liturgical year, may we remember that Christ's kingship is not based on human power, but rather on practicing kinship by loving and serving others, so that we too can be like Bartimaeus and have the faith and courage to see, to speak, to believe, to trust, and to love this Son of David, this Jesus the Christ, the Christ who is indeed our King.